The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
So, we've got a suspension to talk about. We've got all kinds of other sportsy stuff to talk about. Let's do this. It's a Thursday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Thursday. Already Thursday.
Yeah, boy.
Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, the role model. No Aaron today, but we got Tyler Scott. We'll be fine. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776 is your number. 713-780-ESPN. Can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message. I don't know if Tyler will check it the way that Aaron does, but maybe he will. I don't know. You can also get us on Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real. Tyler, I don't know your new Twitter. I know it's not producer T. Scott, but whatever it is. What is his new Twitter?
At Tyler Drew Scott.
At Tyler Drew Scott. I'll try to remember that.
What was your old one?
Producer T. Scott.
Ah.
Yeah. Well, technically.
Today, you're producer T. Scott.
Well, I'm not going to change it back.
I would change it back for the day.
Yeah, just for one day. Yeah, but you can also text the show. You know the number for that. You can also watch us on the Twitch channel and comment there. And we'll get to whatever we can. What's happening, Hoffman?
Sports and stuff like that, man. How's it going with you?
It's going well. It's going really well. Just talking about some sports map stuff with Josh and realizing that this is the best time of year in terms of not having to work our asses off.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun, but we're already making our football season plans, and so I got to kind of get those put away. And once that's done, you know, we're not that far away from really being busy again.
No.
Because once camp starts, then we'll start getting into preseason games, and we'll be writing a lot more stuff. And I'm sure the Texans will give us plenty of content because, you know, I'm sure their general manager will be talking all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So there'll be all kinds of
things. I mean, when they have general manager press conferences, will they all sit up there at once or will they each go up separately and talk about their particular roles?
I bet they'll do it like a round table where they all kind of sit around and say, hey, what do you think about Jadeveon Clowney?
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Can't wait for that. But so your buddy Jake Marisnyk, 2-game suspension.
It's about what I expected, if I'm being honest. I'm kind of under the assumption that he'll appeal, and my bet would be that it gets reduced to 1 game.
He did appeal.
Okay. Yeah. Has it been...
He plans to appeal.
So, yeah, my guess is it'll get reduced to 1 game. And I don't know that he can... I don't know that he can complain about that.
If I were him...
And by the way... I mean, the guy's not an everyday player anyway.
Right. Two games is
just
nothing.
Take 2 days off. All right.
Well, if I were him, I'd take him now and lengthen my All-Star break a little bit.
Yeah.
And then jump back in. They can fade you for 2 games.
They'll be all right.
But I do think
they've got the great Miles Straw.
You just want Miles
Straw. Yeah, I want that
often.
Miles Straw playing time.
Oh, but the Joe Torre's comments were basically that he didn't think it was intentional, but still against the rules. And I get it. I do think that I don't care how many times you watch this or how many opinions you have on it. The reality is, intentional or not, it turned into a dirty play.
Yeah.
And I don't think he intended it to. And you can try to defend him by saying, well, he was blocking the pass. But the reality is that that's the rule. And I think 2 games is fair. And hopefully we never have to speak of this again because people on Twitter lost their damn minds again today.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so unfair. No, it's pretty fair. 2 games for a reserve outfielder. That's like giving a starting pitcher 4 games.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's like, okay. You make your start, you sit out the 4 games anyway.
I think it'd be fine to just go ahead and do it. But, I mean, I guess there's also the principle of it.
Well, I guess money, too.
Yeah.
So, if you're him, you probably are going to go ahead and appeal. Maybe you get it down to 1. That's fine. Maybe it's still 2 and you take it off later. But it's going to have almost zero impact on the Astros.
You know, someone sent me this today. I mean, I guess it's Astros related. But they sent me the actual, if you go to like the Astros website, astros.mlb.com,
yeah,
and look at their active roster, it's got the Astros with 5 infielders and 6 outfielders. If I said who are the 5 infielders on the Astros, what would you say?
Well, Yuli, Bregman, Altuve, Tyler White.
Mm-hmm.
Would they list Straw as an infielder?
No.
We're not counting catcher, right?
No.
I don't know.
They didn't list Straw. They didn't list Tony Kemp, which would have been...
Yeah, that would have been my next guess.
Yordan Alvarez.
Okay.
I thought they don't allow him to even, like, have a first baseman's mitt. Why do they list him as an infielder? It's very odd.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. To make it look like the roster's more balanced? I guess technically, he's a DH. And that's basically it. And maybe an occasional left fielder. But that's odd.
Yeah, I thought that was odd, too. It has nothing to do with what we were talking about, but it's just a random thing that someone noticed, and I was like, that's really interesting.
Yeah. Lenny says, do you think one of the 12 GMs for the Texans should offer a second rounder for Melvin Gordon?
No. That's what I've been hearing people talk about all day.
No.
I don't think so, because then if you trade for Melvin Gordon, then you're having to commit long-term money, and because he's looking for exactly what Clowney's looking for,
right?
Long-term security. If I had to choose between giving it to a pass rusher or a running back, you already know what my answer is every time.
And frankly, I think if you're going to throw Clowney into that mix, I need a cornerback or an offensive lineman back or a lesser pass rusher as part of the deal. I don't think running back is
if you're trading Clowney, you should try to get draft picks.
Yeah, that would be the first choice. But I think if you're getting players, you need it at positions where you need help.
Which it seems like they've decided he's not part of their long-term plans. I don't know if – I mean, I know you think that that's the right choice. I don't know if it is. I think that – this is another thing I was thinking about. The purpose of the franchise tag, like as it was written, was to give teams a chance to – like to extend the window where they're – trying to work on a long-term deal.
Where you can basically, if you draft a superstar, you can have him for the bulk of his most productive years.
Right. But it almost seems like the Texans are using it in bad faith. Like, and I know that there's no way to prove that they're not trying to work on a long-term deal with him. But the whole purpose of that franchise tag is supposed to be so they can work on a long-term deal. And it's not just the Texans that do this. I feel like it's pretty much every team. But the Texans have already made it clear, or at least through the media, so I guess it's hard to say, but if the reports are true from yesterday, that they've got no interest in Jadeveon Clowney long term. So they're just paying him because they don't want him to be a free agent now.
Well, but I mean, for one thing, I don't know that I want to pay this guy J.J. Watt money. And if you're the Texans, do you really want to make that decision now when you don't have to? You just franchise him. You do what you do, and you let it play out. And if the guy has a badass year, then you don't feel so bad about paying him the money. If he doesn't, you know what? Franchise him another year. Wait it out. Or trade him. I still think his value was as high as it was ever going to be, and they should have moved him during the draft. And that's why if that was really the rift or part of the rift,
yeah,
then I'm kind of Team O'Brien on this one. And you'll never hear me say that again about anything else. But now, should the guy have lost his job? No. But if that's really what it was, I don't know how true any of that is, because all we ever get when we hear about these rifts between Bill O'Brien and his, you know, whatever general manager he's hired for the week, it's always coming from O'Brien's camp. There's always stuff that comes out that makes O'Brien look good. So I don't know who it is, you know, his agent or what, that always leaks stuff. But yeah, you know, the reality is everything that comes out that's off the record or sourced, it almost always makes O'Brien look good.
Yeah.
So it doesn't take a genius to figure that out. So this whole thing about, you know, if that's really true, then, you know, okay, I kind of see where he's coming from. But that's not a reason to get rid of your general manager. And if you're interested in the – we talked about this a little bit yesterday because somebody asked about the Brian Ging lawsuit. The Chronicle had a pretty good article today that was really balanced and I thought fair and dealt with the lawsuit, but also a lot of people coming to his defense. And it's way too in-depth to discuss on radio because, frankly, it's boring.
Yeah.
But if you're interested in it, go check it out.
Okay.
On cron.com. So see, giving them a little love. How about that? Speaking of love, back in town from London, my man, Lawyer Dave. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Fred. I am back in town. Yes, indeed. Hey, Blitzers.
Hey, I had a guy hit me up yesterday on Twitter saying, hey, I think I need Lawyer Dave. And so gave him the phone number, gave him the Twitter. It's 713-626-8900 at Lawyer Dave Law. And he said he was in an accident. You're the guy to call, right?
As a matter of fact, thank you, Fred, for that. He did call 713-626-8900 and left a message. I'm going to give him a holler tomorrow, even though I haven't had any sleep in about 30 hours. I'm going in tomorrow because, you know, the wheel never stops turning.
Yeah, well, that's because you're always in court winning, right? And a lot of people have asked me, it's like, I can't afford to go to a doctor. I've been in an accident. And what do you tell them?
I tell them, come on, see me. If you need a doctor and you don't have any money to pay, we'll get you to see the right person with no money up front. That's for sure.
And you're based right here in Houston, but you'll take care of people over in Beaumont, Golden Triangle, all over Texas, right?
Yep, we're based here in Houston, but we reach out from the east side to the west side, north, even to Dallas, and all the way south down to the valley, for sure, Fred.
And your consultations are free. You don't get paid until they win, and if they have a legal question and maybe it's not something you do, you'll tell them what to do, right?
You bet, Fred. The consultations are always free. Whatever legal questions someone might have, if it's not in my field of expertise, I'll shoot them to the right person. I've been doing this 30 years, and I got people all over the area and all over Texas, as a matter of fact.
All right, give them that number again. And once again, it's at Lawyer Dave Law on Twitter. You can also go to lawyerdave.com, but give them that number one more time.
Hit me up, fellas. Better dial Dave at 713-626-8900.
All right, man, get some rest. Let's grab a beer soon.
You bet, buddy. Thank you.
All right, it's Lawyer Dave.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. A little slow on the trigger there. It's all right. Out of practice. It's all good. Tyler Scott filling in today.
Blowing it.
I had ears on, though.
Well, the one talking.
Yeah,
that's true.
Because you have a little time with him. But Foster asked, do you think Manny versus Thurman will be a good fight? In my book, he has Thurman at minus 135, Manny at plus 115.
It's probably about the right odds. Yeah. It should be a competitive fight.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're pretty, at this point, pretty evenly matched. You know, it's just a matter of, like, with Manny, you know, Manny's kind of like Chris Paul. Every time he goes out there, you know it's probably going to be a little bit worse. But at what point?
But he shows you enough flashes here and there. Yeah,
at what point is it like, okay, he's just not good now? I mean, he was so good, you know, in his prime that he was able to lose quite a bit and still be better than most guys. So it just depends on how fast you think he's collapsed.
I do like the plus 115 on him.
Yeah.
I might look at that. So, yeah, we'll have plenty of time to talk about that. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You know, a week from today, we'll be broadcasting live from Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So, I have to admit, I'm not as gung-ho about this particular trip as I have been past Vegas trips. Not because of the fight or any of that. That'll be fun.
Just going to Vegas and... Vegasing.
Yeah, I just got back.
You're not feeling it?
No. And to be fair, the last trip was, it was all business, but I liked that better.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't get to do any of the usual things I do, but I actually enjoyed it because I was playing poker the whole time.
Which right.
is kind of what, but it was one thing instead of, you know, three a day. But yeah, just, it's awful. It's awful soon. That's all. Rockets Babe on the Twitch channel asked, when was the ESPN listener party, or did I miss that already?
You've not missed it.
You have not missed it, Rockets Babe. It is August 15th. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Something like that. Three members of management here, and nobody knows when the party
yeah.
is. Yeah, August 15th is when it's going to be, and we'll let you guys know how you can get in on it. And should be a lot of fun. Last year's was a lot of fun. So hopefully we'll all be here for it. I think that's the plan.
I think that's required.
Dustin just tweeted this at us. I was going to bring it up, that Mike Vrabel saying he cut his member off for a Super Bowl win.
Yeah. We have the audio of that?
I can try and find it.
I'll forward it to you.
Yeah, we've actually, our man, was that Cody took
Cody.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cody, who's just a, you want to talk about a versatile player. He's the Diaz of
yeah.
ESPN 97.5 and Gal Media and SB Nation. That guy can play every position.
You want it to your Gmail or to your, okay.
So where is Aaron today? Was this planned?
Vacation, or? Yeah. Oh, okay. He's on vacation.
Yeah. That shows you how much I pay attention.
I send out an email every week, Fred.
I know, but I know I only look to see when you're gone, so I need to get replacements. I don't really pay attention to anybody else because it doesn't usually impact me.
Yeah.
And, you know, Tyler's a made man. It's no big deal. Not that we won't miss Aaron, but he's not his first rodeo.
Yeah.
But hopefully he'll get that audio for us. But I mean, I think it's one of those things people say. Nobody's really cutting their penis off.
I wonder if are there guys who care about football that much? Like Mike Vrabel, the reality is Mike Vrabel already has Super Bowl rings.
Right.
So.
And I think getting him as a player mean more than being a coach. I don't know.
Does it, you think?
I think so.
I don't know. Because, I think for certain, for quarterbacks, certainly. But after a quarterback, isn't the head coach the most, recognized guy for having won a Super Bowl?
Generally.
But, and that's that's a resume maker for you. If you're a coach and you've won a Super Bowl, you're automatically, basically permanently respected, unless you're Gary Kubiak.
I guess, let me rephrase that. If I'm the 53rd guy on the roster and I'm playing special teams, that's one thing. But Vrabel was a big part of their defense.
Yeah.
And I think winning that as a player would mean more to me. If I had the option, that would mean more to me than being the coach. But I could see the other side of that real easily. All right, play the audio.
Matt Neely said he would cut off his
for a Super Bowl.
For a Uno Super Bowl. And I said, and I have no problem saying, no, I wouldn't do that.
Would you cut your off for a Super Bowl?
Oh, been married 20 years? Yeah, probably.
You've got three.
As a player. I guess we'll be married for 20 years one day.
If you came home holding a bag of ice, and Jen was like, "Oh, honey, what'd you do?"
She'd be like, "I thought you already got fixed.
I made the ultimate sacrifice.
I had to cut my dick off, honey. We're gonna win a Super Bowl." She'd be like, "Eh, all right." Or would she be upset?
She'd probably be on board.
She would be like, "Do you want me to do it? You want to do it now?"
It's pretty funny.
That is pretty funny. Now that said.
No way.
He wouldn't really do it, I don't think.
No, but he is right. After certain years of marriage, you don't need it anymore.
Right.
And, and Jay says, good news for Mike. He never has to worry about that with the Titans.
Yep, that's true.
Probably true. But I was trying to think, what would I cut mine off for?
For the World Series of Poker Championship? For the main event bracelet.
Yeah, that's the only thing that I could come up with that would make me consider it. I'm honestly probably would.
What about owning a horse that won the Triple Crown?
Nah.
No?
No.
I mean, that's a lot of money. That's more money than the World Series will give you.
It is, but, that's more like, I mean, you're not really doing it. You just were smart enough to buy a fast horse. Win the World Series of Poker, you've done something.
Yeah.
And, you know, hell, just getting, like, Richard Seymour, I think, went out in 130-something, 120-something. That's a hell of an accomplishment. I might cut off, you know, the tip of my finger for that. But for the whole thing down there, yeah, I'd have to win it. So, somebody says, speaking of fights coming up, let's not forget Juan Adams versus Greg Hardy is the same night of Pacquiao.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is the case, because I wanted to go down to San Antonio and be there, but not going to happen.
Well, you're back, though, right?
I am back, but I'm also back because there's no one to take care of my dogs.
Oh.
So I'll be dog-sitting instead of going to San Antonio.
Well, I'll find a place to watch it.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Because I'm really rooting for Juan in this one. And you know what? It's cool. He called us out. He's been going after Greg Hardy and wanting to fight him. He's got him now. And, you know, time for him to back it up.
Yep.
Mott said, most men would cut it off for a larger one. Do I get a prosthetic, like in Rick and Morty, where they were going to give him the prosthetic one if he donated his penis?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't have to use it other than just for, you know, natural stuff. If I get a prosthetic, yeah, okay, World Series of Poker, definitely. So, somebody says $3.5 million for one testicle.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, because you don't need them both. I almost lost one for free. And actually, I almost lost one to paid for it. So, yeah. Somebody says WSOP main event champ now or 2005 during the poker craze. I'll take now. I'm not greedy.
The payouts are higher now.
Well, and this is the second largest payout. I mean, second largest field they've ever had. The year I played was the only one that was bigger was 06.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think people are getting into it again. It's never going to be like it was, where it just exploded and all these guys became superstars. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm too close to it. I think the main event's still a huge deal. I watch it religiously. I pay attention to everything that's going on. I enjoy it, and I'm a fan of it. So I don't, but I don't think we're ever going to see the boom again, where you had college kids losing fortunes online.
I don't know if the only thing that I could see bringing it back would be if they made it legal and accessible again,
online.
Yeah,
yeah. Although, in some ways, I don't know that that was ever, I mean, it was good for some of us. I know you did real well with it too, but you had a lot of college kids losing their tuition. You had a bunch of people. The problem was, because it was accessible to everyone did it. And a lot of people weren't very good and lost a lot of money. And believe me,
thank goodness.
Well, yeah, but some of them couldn't afford to.
But that's, I mean, that's gambling.
It is, but you know, yeah, from a shark perspective, you want that. From a humanity perspective, I don't know that it was a good idea.
Yeah.
So, Chris says, would you cut it off if you got to bang a hot alien? Before said surgery, obviously.
Boy, you think it's a good idea, and then at the very end, it's like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
As soon as this is over, it's gone.
Yeah, that would, nope, that's not enough, because that's just more of a bonus thing. So 512 says AJ will gladly watch your dogs for a 12 pack of beer.
Yeah.
Of course, a 12 pack of your beer could get pretty expensive.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. That is a good question about having a Triple Crown horse versus a World Series. I think the World Series, because it is more of a personal accomplishment.
Yeah, it's an achievement.
Yeah.
I mean, what if you could, I mean, I know you don't do this, but what if you trained that horse?
That would be different. That'd be like being a coach of a Super Bowl team.
Right.
Owning it. See, that's the thing. If I just owned it, I'm Cal McNair, right? But if I trained the horse, that'd be Bill O'Brien. I don't know. That's a horrible, horrible analogy. Let's start over. If I were the owner, I'd be Robert Kraft. Oh, wait. Then I'm in a massage parlor.
Mm-hmm.
And the trainer would be Bill Belichick. Yeah. But that's kind of how it would work.
Yeah.
Oh, regardless, I'll tell you where I'd celebrate after the horse won the Triple Crown. Big City Wings.
Oh, of course you would.
That'd be the first place I'd go. Houston's Wing Joint. Wall-to-wall TVs. You want to watch the Astros now that they're back. You're not going to miss any action at all. And they're big on wings, specials, sports, everything. They've got the limited time menu right now. The sour cream and onion wings are fantastic. Look, they're Big City Wings, so the wings are great. Okay, let's just start with that. And but they've also got burgers. They've got all kinds of stuff. I love their burgers. They're just fantastic. And daily specials. Guess what today is? Double boneless wings and Texas crafts. But that. Friday, you get half-price appetizers and margarita madness. They got something every single day going on. It's kid-friendly. You can go and enjoy the games. You want to watch more than one thing, they've got you covered. And 8 great locations around the city now, including the newest one on Rayford Road. Go visit that one in Kingwood, and you can go in the bar and sit at the A.J. Hoffman table or the Fred Fowler table. Find the location nearest you. Go to BigCityWings.com. Make sure you check them out on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. It's all Big City Wings, BigCityWings.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, 713-780-ESPN. If you want to get in or text the show, or you can hit us up on the Twitch thing. A lot of people tell me the signal went out. I don't know if it's out or temporary or what, so...
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, Tyler?
I was having issues with Twitch earlier because this mouse apparently ran out of batteries, but it's
Well, not Twitch, I'm talking about the actual signal.
Oh, signal.
The air signal.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I can check, though.
Okay, let me know.
A friend of mine sent me this story while we were on break, and it is about, I don't know how whether I think this is the coolest thing ever or the worst thing that's ever going to happen to humanity.
Okay.
It's an artificial intelligence robot called Pluribus who is capable of beating human experts in six-player no-limit hold'em. Now, it says that's the most widely played poker format in the world, but I think nine-handed is the most widely played. I could be wrong. But they train this thing to play six-handed. They put him in against a bunch of pros. And he basically, I haven't read the whole story because it's got a bunch of nerd stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it learns as it goes and basically beat the crap out of a bunch of pros.
Well, I mean, there's computers that beat the best chess guys. I guess it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, well, it's Chris Ferguson, Greg Merson, Darren Elias. A lot of guys that you've heard of, they rotated them, and they each, you know, basically they took a bunch of guys who won more than $1 million.
Right.
And yeah, the bot wasn't playing against nobodies.
Right.
And basically 10,000 hands of poker were played over 12 days. Each day they took 5 volunteers from the pool of professionals. $50,000 was divided among the human pros based on their performance. And Pluribus win rate was estimated to be about 5 big blinds per 100 hands.
3 hours? Yeah.
So, what the heck was that?
What's going on, Tyler?
No, I accidentally left my mic on while I was searching through this. Apparently, I think our signal is out. I'll text AD.
Okay. Thank
okay.
You.
So, if you're listening, you're listening only on the stream.
Of course.
Or you're listening on Twitch. We'll get it done. So I hate wasting a good story when we're not on air. But that's not bad. 5 big blinds per 100 hands. It's not a lot. But he would have won an average of $5 per hand and made about $1,000 an hour.
Yeah.
That's good. And that's a higher rate than, well, we talked about.
You know, what you need to win to be profitable.
Yeah. That basically if you're playing 2-5, it needs to be you know, $50 an hour. So $1,000 an hour, that's pretty stout. And Ferguson, they asked him, but he said he's a very hard opponent to play against. It's really hard to pin him down on any kind of hand. He's also very good at making thin value bets on the river. He's very good at extracting value out of his good hands. Now, he was intended to be a tool for AI research.
Signal back, by the way.
Oh, okay, good. So, yeah, I mean, I'm fascinated by this because we know the robot uprising is coming. And if it's going to happen, I'd rather them just beat us at poker than kill us.
Yeah, kind of.
I don't want Terminator to happen. But, yeah, nice to have the signal back.
Hey, this is a way, way far ahead radio tease.
Yeah?
At 5 o'clock, I want to tell a story that was brought to my attention by Lance Zierlein. And he said they never really got a chance to dig into it today. And it's kind of a long, like it's an advice request.
Yeah.
And it is incredibly fascinating. And it,
oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. So I
can't wait for 5 o'clock.
I want to tell the story and then I want to see what advice you would give this person.
Okay.
So just a little tease ahead there. I guess Lance never got to, he didn't get a chance to get on it this morning. So
yeah, I did get I got to listen a little bit to them and they brought up something that we didn't really get to yesterday, that Schefter reporting that the Texans weren't going to have a GM was a month old news.
Yeah. I mean,
what the hell?
Somebody was like, oh, breaking news. That wasn't breaking news. I mean, but it was made I guess the Texans officially announced that that's what they're doing. We kind of knew that was going to be the case.
The Chronicle reported that a month ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, so turning that into breaking news is kind of silly. But, yeah, well, that's what they do. 713-780-ESPN, 832-S. I wonder if that artificial intelligence could beat a super tight player like Dan Harrington. I mean, they got a bunch of different style guys.
Yeah.
So that's the scary part. It says that poker robot is proof to my theory that the Terminator was a prophecy and Skynet will one day nuke us all.
Did you see there's going to be a new Terminator movie?
I did.
You don't like that, I'm guessing.
I think it should be done. I think so too. I think that franchise has gone as far as it should go. But I'm also the one who thought they should have stopped after one.
Okay.
And while two was a good movie, and this is the nerd in me, it basically, when you create a time travel universe, and then in the next movie you basically piss all over it.
Right.
I'm not a fan of that. Okay. And that's what happened. Even though I liked the movie, it just made the first one unbelievable.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing was set up where nobody else could go through, right?
That was supposedly the
deal. Oh, guess what? They found a second one. So we can make a second movie. And then a third. And then, oh, let's go back to those days. And it's too much for me. So ATF says a prostitute makes $1,000 per hand if it's a good hand.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's just a matter of time until they take over. I hope it's the fun ones and not the poker playing and chess playing ones that take over, not the ones that control the nukes.
Yeah, yeah. Preferably, they're just, you know, friendly robots.
Yeah. And my buddy Steven tweeted out that I'm going to retweet it. So if you want to read more about the details of it. It's kind of fascinating. I just didn't have time to read the whole thing because I'm kind of doing a radio show. You know how that goes.
You're busy.
A little bit, yeah. So 713-780-ESPN's number, 713-780-3776. Ridiculousness says that James Cameron is heavily involved again. He says ignoring all the films after Judgment Day is a direct sequel. Yeah, I think there's certain things it's time to punt on.
I think the only way you can ignore past timelines, the only kind of movie you can do that in, if you're making sequels, is a horror movie.
Yeah, you can make thousands of those. That's
because when Freddy Krueger dies, or like, I mean, at the end, he basically dies at the end of every movie, and you're like, oh, they got rid of Freddy finally, and then he's back.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because that's
the genre. I mean, it's perfectly set up for
and
that.
I mean, horror movies are, they're made to be corny and unbelievable. Like, that's what they're there for. Sci-fi, like, people get so into sci-fi that they want to believe, like,
well,
they break it down. You know what I mean?
I have a theory about that, because I think, and I know you're not a big sci-fi fan. I am. I really like sci-fi and fantasy, kind of what I grew up with. But when was the last really successful sci-fi movie? That's not a Marvel movie, because frankly, right. There are some of the Marvel movies that are technically science fiction, Guardians of the Galaxy. And
well, do you count those like the Hunger Games? Like, is that a sci-fi movie?
That's more of a futuristic, because there's nothing in there that's not believe. I mean, you're not, there's not alien spacecrafts and stuff like
no,
that.
No, well, but there what are. About, like,
it's post-apocalyptic is how I would define that.
Interstellar, maybe?
Yeah, The Martian? Would that count?
Was that a sci-fi movie or just a space movie?
Well, I mean,
it was based on a book. I don't know.
But I feel like The Martian, that was just a space movie. That wasn't like a, but there was no aliens or anything, right?
Maybe.
Or robots. Like, it was just.
Yeah, but you also had good enough space travel to get to Mars, which requires technology beyond what exists.
Okay.
So, by that definition.
Well, that's not necessarily true. Maybe.
Yeah, you can have got a ship there in a year or whatever.
Not in a year.
So, I mean, it's based on technology that doesn't exist.
Let me give you a few that have come out in the last several years and you can tell me if you consider them sci-fi or not, but these are ones that I can think of that were big sci-fi movies. Now, Inception, but that's been a while now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going on close to 10 years probably.
And that's a hard one to define too, but...
What about all these Blade Runner movies that they put
out? Well, Blade Runner lost like $80 million. I mean, it was well received, but and I'm talking about success at the box office.
Okay.
Because I think there have been a bunch of them made in the last few years, and none of them have really done anything.
Mad Max Fury Road.
Mad Max Fury Road.
Is that also again, post-apocalyptic? Kind
of post-apocalyptic. Because when I think of science fiction, I think of technology that doesn't exist yet in real life.
Yeah, I think you're right, man. Those movies, you know why they don't make those anymore? Because they're stupid. And they don't make any money.
It's like Avatar. That would count.
Yeah.
That was probably the last really big one.
Well, I mean, Inception came out after Avatar, right?
Yeah.
Inception was huge at the box office.
Yeah. Again, that's another one I don't know how to define. But I guess you'd have to put it in there because it is. It's advanced technology. So you mentioned Ender's Game. I like that, but...
Did it make a bunch of money? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think it was a big hit. There's just been
It flopped.
Yeah, there's been a bunch of big time flops. There was that something Valeria, I don't know what it's called, that was supposed to be really good, and it lost like $100 million. And this kind of came up because in my browsing the other day, I found a list of some of the movies that have lost the most money, you know, some of the biggest busts, and they were almost all sci-fi movies.
Yeah, because they cost a lot.
Well, and one of them was even a cartoon, that Titan AE. Apparently, they spent a bunch of money on that, and it was a total bomb. So, I don't know why. I guess because we're talking about Terminator. It was supposed to be about Star Wars, but have the Star Wars... Well, here's another one. That Han Solo movie was on the list of movies that had lost the most money.
Yeah.
And
oh, that's the other one. I mean, Star Wars movies, those usually make a bunch of money, though.
They do, but I think now you're starting to see spinoffs not doing what the originals did. And plus, I just don't think they're making very good movies anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's, and to try to keep creating stuff, I don't think it's the automatic money maker that it used to be. Like, you can throw a Fast and Furious movie out there and it's going to make money.
Yep.
Doesn't matter who's in it. But I think Star Wars now, depending on what it costs to make, I'm going to try to find that.
Well,
list.
I told you, I don't even go watch those Star Wars movies anymore. Like, I was a Star Wars fan, but now it's like, I don't go out of my way to watch these things, especially in theaters.
Yeah, I finally watched the Solo movie about a month ago.
I still haven't seen it.
Yeah, when it came on to pay. You know what? I watched something last night that wasn't awful. It was called Killers Anonymous. And apparently it just got released June 28th, but it's also already on demand, which is never a good sign. And the critics just said it was horrible. I actually thought it was pretty good. It kind of had a little bit of a Tarantino vibe to it. and a little bit of a Peter Berg vibe. Maybe Guy Ritchie. Wasn't great, but it was worth the $7 I spent on it.
Well, there you go.
So just passing that on. If you happen to be looking for something to watch, you think, ah, I'll give this a try. The first 30 minutes or so, eh, and then it really picks up.
All right, I got to tell you guys about Noah. And Noah was a fast food delivery driver. And that's not great. That doesn't pay well. Not a really fun job. And he wanted out. He wanted a career. So he went to My Computer Career and less than 6 months started his IT career. And now he's in line for his second promotion. If your job is garbage, change it. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 6 months. It doesn't get any more simple than that, guys. And listen, you think, oh, well, how am I going to find the time to do this? You attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week. That's going to be all you need to get started in your new career. And then after you graduate, they're going to help you get a job because that's what they do. They help. They work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid is available for those who qualify. Classes start soon. Go take the free career evaluation today. MyComputerCareer.edu. That's MyComputerCareer.edu.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. It's funny, I found Wikipedia actually has the same list that I was going through the other day. There's not a lot of horror films on here because they don't cost much to make.
No, they're super cheap.
Yeah, but there's also some movies that I really liked that lost a bunch of money, but just a few of them here. 47 Ronin in 2013, which I'm not even familiar with.
I'm not either.
And they can't do an. They adjust for inflation. They can't really nail down exactly how much these lost most of the time. So that one lost between $104 million and $161 million because they don't go production budget, worldwide gross, what they think they made, and then, you know, in the secondary market. The Alamo remake in 2004, minus $125 million.
Ooh.
The Ali movie, 2001, $94 million.
Minus $94 million?
Minus $94 million. These are all movies.
Man, I would have thought that made money.
Yeah. It cost $107 million to make. The worldwide gross was $87 million. And adjusted for inflation, it lost $94 million. But there's a bunch of sci-fi. Battlefield Earth, which may have been one of the worst movies ever made. Blade Runner 2049 lost $82 million. But then there's movies I like on here, like Chronicles of Riddick, also sci-fi, lost between $62 and $97 million. And I like that movie. Cowboys and Aliens, shocker, $70 to $84 million. Dark Phoenix so far projects to lose between $100 and $120 million.
Damn. I kept thinking I'm gonna go watch it, but I'm not going to.
Ender's Game, who somebody mentioned, lost $73 million. Fantastic Four.
Oh, I'm sure that was lost money. If you're making a superhero movie and it loses money, that's on you. You just made a crappy movie.
Green Lantern, $84 million to $100 million. But then there's like Geostorm lost $73 million. It's just like they spend all this money on these sci-fi movies and they just don't work.
Didn't John Carter lose a lot of money?
Yeah, John Carter... Although they wound up making money in China on that for some reason. John Carter, they're not, again, it's a gap. $133 million or $218 million. Pretty big gap, but that's rumored how much it lost. And because it cost $263 million to make. And honestly, for $263 million, that was not a very visually good movie.
Yeah. It was just like all desert.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you could have just gone to Arizona and done that. Justice League lost between 50 and 100.
Really?
Yeah. That's surprising. Yeah. Jupiter Ascending, which I saw on cable one night, that thing lost $102 million.
Damn. Yeah, I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, it's got what's her face in it who's really hot that you like.
Mila Kunis.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Channing Tatum, he's in that.
Yeah, but he's weird because he's kind of a half human.
Yeah, they're all makeuped out.
Yeah, yeah. They,
I think they did.
Oh, yeah. Gross. So alien and human sex?
Male alien.
Well, technically, she's an alien.
But she looks human.
Spoiler report, but she was hiding out on Earth. But the aliens look just like us because, you know.
When they did it, was he in alien form and she was in human form?
Well, yeah, because her form looks human. He looked like kind of an elf.
Yeah, or like maybe a cat.
I know that's not very forward thinking, but I'm against intergalactic relations.
In this one, I was, yeah, because it wasn't very visually appealing. But Man from U.N.C.L.E. lost 85 million. I like that movie a lot. It spent $109 million making the damn thing. It's like, I don't know how these people get budgets for stuff like this when you can make a damn good movie for $8 to $10 million.
Yeah.
Let's see if there's another one on here that stands out. Solo: A Star Wars Story lost $77 million.
Damn.
Titan AE is a cartoon and it lost $145 million. How do you do that with a cartoon?
That's pretty wild.
Yeah, that's just a fail of life right there. Again, it's adjusted for inflation. And then XXX State of the Union, $100 million loss.
Damn.
So, let this be a lesson. I think the first thing you should do is not make sci-fi movies. Unless they're Avengers. Because that's the only way you're going to make money off of them right now. Because your budget's going to be huge. So, hey, your Texans media guide's now available. Did you see that?
No.
Executive management bios. I wonder how they're going to handle the GM thing.
I'm guessing they're not.
Did they rip Brian Gaines' page out in time, I wonder?
I don't know.
Does it go from page 5 to page 6? It just goes from 4 to 6 because there's no Brian Gaines?
Poor Brian Gaines. Never really had a chance, did he?
Who does when you're going up against a great Bill O'Brien?
That's true.
Speaking of media guides, I updated our Rockets page. I got emailed about it today, so now there is mention of you as the program director. And I'm the assistant programmer.
Our Rockets page?
Yep.
What's our Rockets? I didn't even know we had a Rockets page.
In the NBA Blue Book. Like that. Thing. Not the actual media guide. Like their media guides and Blue Books and Black Books are a little different. But
gotcha.
Kind of the same thought.
So we're... by the way, did you sneak that in at 4:57? Yeah. Okay, just checking. All right. Speaking of
slipped one past the goalie.
Yeah, that was kind of one of those that bounced off his skate that he never saw from behind the net. He's looking out there, and all of a sudden, damn, I gave up a goal. All right, guys, if you're tired of credit card bills with high interest rates and you want to pay off your balances and start saving some money, I have the answer for you. And here's a way to save money. If you got good credit, you can get a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. The rates are as low as 5.95% APR with autopay, lower than the average credit card interest rate, which is 19%, and some of them are much higher than that, even if you do have good credit. You can get a loan anywhere from $5,000 to $100,000 with no fees. Did I mention no fees? No application fees, origination fees, transaction fees, prepayment penalties. You hate those fees. You don't have to deal with them here. The rate is fixed, so it never goes up over the life of the loan. And you can get your money in your bank account as soon as the day you apply. It's so easy. You can even do it from your phone. They want to reward people with good credit. They think you deserve a better loan experience. And just think about the money you can save, depending on how much you have on your credit cards. And just for the Blitzers, apply now to get a special interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Fred. LightStream.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Fred for more information.
ESPN 97.5.